Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Here's the podcast for Connecting Faith. Enjoy the conversation.
Real conversations about how we live out our faith every day. Welcome to Connecting Faith.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks for staying with us this afternoon. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt compelled or prompted to pray for someone maybe and not sure where that came from? Or maybe you felt the Holy Spirit kind of nudge you to go somewhere or do something and wondered, am I supposed to do that? Well, I have some guests today who not only felt nudged to do something, but to go somewhere. And we're going to talk about what that means to follow that prompting by the Holy Spirit to use those gifts that God has given you to go somewhere and do something, whether it be big or little, just something for God's kingdom. My guests today are Kay and Sean Levesque, and they are embarking on a journey with a Love to Hope tour in an RV across the country to raise awareness for sex trafficking all across the country. And maybe your burden is also going to be in your heart to participate in this journey with them. Let me tell you a little bit about them, and then we will get them on the show. Sean Levesque has degrees in education and exercise science. He spent his career motivating and inspiring others through his roles as a teacher, a personal coach, a trainer, instructor, and presenter. He's also a trained ambassador through Shared Hope International and has worked in the fitness industry for 20 years. He loves to see people be healthy and active and thriving and in their purpose. His wife, Kay, has a speaking journey as well. It started nearly 17 years ago when she traveled as Miss North Dakota throughout the Midwest, speaking and singing to a variety of groups, students and teachers and women's groups and youth groups. She's also a trained ambassador through Hope and or Shared Hope International and Stories Foundation, a former high school teacher and currently a homeschooling mom. Her passion is to educate others on issues of injustice and connect them to their God-given passions to make an impact. Welcome, Sean and Kay.
Thank you.
Thanks
for having us.
Well, it's great to have you here. And the reason that Sean and Kay and I got connected is because I was out doing a photo shoot and a friend of Sean's was the photographer on that shoot and said, oh, you need to talk to my friends because they are actually living out what God has sent them to do. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what he said. So I was so thrilled to hear about your story. So what Sean and Kay have decided they're going to embark on is this journey in an RV to go across the country. But Kay, why don't you tell me where that started?
Okay. Well, 2012, I couldn't sleep one night, so I turned on the television and a movie came on. It was about a dad trying to rescue his daughter from trafficking. And I just thought to myself, who thinks of this stuff? How is that entertainment? I couldn't understand why that would be a plot line in a movie. But the movie was followed then by a documentary, and I began to realize, oh, this is reality. This really happens. I was so devastated by that information. We have three kids. My daughter was five at the time. And all I could do was picture her in situations like that. And it just made me weep. And I was physically ill. I went through several days of just feeling sick. And then I got ticked off. And I think that's that righteous anger that God gives us to do something about justice or about injustice. And so I asked him, what would you have me do? The problem seemed so large. I thought, what can one person do? And I knew I wanted to do something. I didn't want to give my money to a cause. I wanted to do something. So that's when I just felt him say, you can speak and you can teach. So start there. And I began to educate myself on human trafficking. What is it? Where is it? How's it happen? Where does it take place? I came across an organization called Shared Hope International. They had an Ambassador of Hope training program, and I went through that. But it really is just baby steps of obedience to what is the Lord asking me to do? What gifts has He given me? And how can I use them and just stepping through those open doors? And so that led me on the trek to speak and educate and bring awareness when I could.
You know, those all sound like really wonderful things, thinking, what has God given me? How do I use those gifts? And then asking Him, how can I use those gifts? Did those questions come to you naturally, or how did you come to even ask those questions of yourself?
Oh, goodness. I think that has a lot to do with how I was raised, number one, in a godly Christian home that where my parents have always exemplified, do hard things for the Lord. That's something that we say to our kids, too. You know, do hard things. Ask yourself, why am I here? What are my gifts? Am I honing them? And am I using them for God's glory? And so, you know, I say God's throne is established on righteousness and justice. And so as believers, he puts his spirit of righteousness and justice into our hearts. So then our lives become bent on those things when we're tuned in. And so when we are faced against injustices, then I think God's spirit just rears up in us. Mm-hmm. And he says, do something about that. I have gifted you to do something about that. So when I began to get educated and talk when I could, I talked a lot to Sean and eventually picked up the passion with me, and it became a trek. It took a lot to get us to this point, but yeah.
Well, that was going to be my next question. So now Kay's obviously got a fire within her, and you're the person closest to her, so you're probably hearing a lot about this.
Yeah.
When did you get to the point where you thought, well, I'm fired up too?
Yeah, well, initially I was, it was hard to think about it. Just the pictures and the type of training that we went through with Shared Hope International, when we learned these types of things, for me, it really, it went deep, and it's dark. And so I took a little bit of time to jump on board, but slowly but surely God was working in my heart, and I was constantly asking myself too, you know, even though I'm in a great career that I love, what do you want more from me, God? I'm willing to do whatever you want. And then we came together and decided, how can we use our gifts together? Now that we both have this passion, and Stories Foundation is a local nonprofit organization, and they had an outreach committee. And so together, Kay and I joined that, and one thing led to the other, and we started thinking, you know, what can we do to help raise our kids, number one, in a way that helps them to grow up and look at social injustice and poverty and oppression and not fear it or run from it, but to dive in and roll up their sleeves and be excited about wanting to help. And then on top of that, how do you want to use us, God? And we felt like we were being called then into mission work. We thought that was going to be a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went down that route, went to a missionary assessment center, came back a little bit confused, because we knew we were going in the right direction, but we were just on the wrong track. And so we came back, we prayed, we sought wise counsel, and one thing led to the other. I found myself at the Global Leadership Summit down at Willow Creek last year in August. And while I was there, two of the speakers on Thursday for our lunch and our dinner, we had private lunch and dinner with a group we were with, was the Salvation Army and International Justice Mission. And that was no mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to bed stirred up that night and woke up the next morning to go to the conference, and got very little out of the conference that day because God was just speaking to me. And throughout the entire day, these thoughts came to my mind, and a plan really was put in place on how Kay and I could be used for God's kingdom and to help fight this social injustice. And I came home excited at midnight, which was a big mistake. Don't wake your wife up that late, and to tell her you're going to sell everything you own and buy an RV and travel the country, because she thought that was all my plan. And so obviously she had already settled in, you know, thinking, what would life be like as missionaries in a third world country? And so for me to come home and say something like that at midnight after waking her up, it wasn't a real good homecoming. But the next day, things turned around, thank goodness. And that's when Love to Hope was really born. The name, not yet, because that came from our 8-year-old about a month later. But this vision and how it can work and this strategy all formed the next morning when we were having coffee out on the deck together. Mm-hmm. And here we are. We're ready to go. We're leaving for Chicago, our first destination, in a couple weeks.
You know, God is so amazing how when you look back and you see all those pieces going together now, mm-hmm. I'm sure as they were actually unfolding, it didn't seem like it was falling together as neatly as it has happened upon now.
Right.
But go back to what you were talking about earlier, with that God had just put something in your heart where you knew that there was an injustice happening, and that you had this discontent about not being able to help, and you wanted to join in. I know we were talking about Bill Hybels' book, Holy Discontent, and that's really what that's about, mm-hmm. is that there's something in each one of us that God puts there so that we would find his heart for mm-hmm. that issue. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you have found that. Tell me a little bit about that process and how that just worked in your heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think scripture is so evident. You know, we look at these large scale issues, like I was saying before, and we think, oh, they're massive. And what can I do? Often when we talk to people, we'll get, you know, two main reactions. Either the problem is so huge that I don't believe you, therefore I discredit you, therefore I don't have to do anything. Or the problem is so huge that what can one person do? So I'm not going to bother doing anything. You know, and I don't think that God would ever want us to do that. I think scripture's so clear on how he asks us to defend the rights of the needy, and how he points to what he did to just come and to seek and to save the lost, and that he loves the least of these, and that whatever you do for the least of these, you do for me. So just really teaching us how to love and how to serve, and that's done by action. Love mm-hmm. is an action. And so it's being obedient to the littlest things. And mm-hmm. when we speak to audiences, it's super important that we tap into, first of all, don't think that what you're doing isn't enough. If what you're doing has been surrendered to the Lord, he calls each of us to do different things when it comes to justice. And it may be for now that you're to raise those godly children. And it may be that you're supposed to teach in that school or, you know, be an excellent wife. And that is your call to justice, because the breakdown of the family is a huge problem mm-hmm. when it comes to sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. So it's not to be, you know, look at us and are you doing enough? But it is, are you asking the Lord each day, and laying down that life, laying down your own plans of comfort and, you know, luxury. That's one of the things in America. That's why we thought maybe we were going third world, because first world luxuries are so prevalent. And the message to our children of have more, you know, be more, you deserve more is so there all the time. But we have to lay those things down and think, what can I do for the Lord with what I have? And then once you've surrendered that to the Lord, then it's resting. It's that combination of resting in what you're doing and feeling like the Lord is pleased, and then going back each day and saying, is there anything else you would have for me today? And can I walk through that? Because that's those baby steps of obedience. Being in the Word mm-hmm. And seeing God's heart for the lost will motivate yeah. you to do something too.
And praying. Yeah, I went to a men's conference this October will be 2 years ago now. And one of the things I walked away with was each day, you know, you get up and you just put both hands in front of you. And you say, God, here are my sins, here are my issues, and here are my gifts and my talents. And I'm going to open my hands and I'm going to just give them to you to live for you today. And most of us, the enemy wants to have us grip our hands into fists and put them behind our back and hold them behind there because of shame, because of guilt, you name it. The list goes on. And for me, when I started doing that, you know, it's so important to reflect on your past, not to let it define you, but to let it influence you to do what God wants you to do, and to look back and to see how God has worked through all this and how he started changing my heart for injustices at that time and bringing Kay and I to this path and how he's done it. It is a sweet, sweet story, and all the glory to him for doing it.
So amazing. And I just love hearing the story and how you've been able to articulate what God's doing in your heart. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to learn a little bit more about sex trafficking, not only here in the Midwest, but nationwide. I think that a lot of what you're doing had to do with awareness of you learning about this problem. Mm-hmm. And we'd love to educate our listeners a little bit on this growing problem that exists in our country and how we can get more involved. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Well, what have you been doing this summer? I could tell you a lot of stories about being out on the lake or maybe heading to the golf course, getting on some fun vacations with my family. Well, today I have a family who's done a little bit different things this summer. I'm talking to Sean and Kay Levesque, who have three children and have rented an RV and are embarking on a Love to Hope tour where they're going to travel across the country, raising awareness for sex trafficking and what we can do as Christ followers to help to eradicate this problem and just be aware of what's happening possibly in our own backyard. Mm-hmm. Well, Sean and Kay, we've been talking a little bit about how you got involved in this story, but there had to be some awareness that things that you weren't aware of with sex trafficking in the first place that maybe caught you off guard. What are some of those things where you said, no way is this happening in my backyard?
Yeah, well, that was just it. When I first learned about it and saw that documentary, I thought, well, surely not in America. You know, this can't be happening in America. This is the land of the free. And but it is. It is happening in America at alarming rates. You know, the average age that a girl is trafficked in America is 13. And so that just breaks my heart that we have these children being preyed upon. So it was just really important to me. The more that I began to learn and educate myself, the more I was compelled to plug in, to do something. And that's really what the hope is for us as we travel. We're on an awareness tour. There's mm-hmm. three prongs to trafficking. There's awareness, there's rescue, there's restoration. And we're focusing on awareness because we believe that awareness works. And we mm-hmm. believe that the more people are made known of an issue, the more that they'll want to act.
That's prevention.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's prevention education. So, you know, when you find out that in America, somewhere between 100,000 and 300,000 children a year are trafficked annually, that they're sold online, that they're preyed on, and that there's so many different things that feed this industry, that it is a $32 billion industry in America. So the selling of a human being is the second largest criminal activity in the United States. Second, you know, to drugs. And actually is really coming very close. Mm. Gangs are transitioning from selling drugs and guns to selling human beings because it's profitable, because you can sell human over and over again. When you find out those things, you can't just turn a blind eye. You just can't. So we hope to bring people to action.
Yeah, what really shook me up with the awareness piece is when I was made aware of how young some of these children are. I mean, 10, 9, 8. You go over to places like India and Cambodia, 5, 6 years old. And at the time when Kay started looking into this, my daughter was 5. Mm. So any father that learns about something like this can't help but think, how in the world can someone do this to an innocent child like this? And that, it made me so sad, mm-hmm. but it also made me angry. Like, this cannot continue to happen, and we together can do something mighty. Mm-hmm. Well, everyone can do something. If we have a unified front, we can make a big impact on this.
So if the average age of a teenage girl who's sold into sex trafficking is 13 years old, maybe you could explain how those girls even come to the point where they might be traded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, first it starts by them being sort of targeted. So traffickers are looking for girls that are vulnerable. Age is the number one, you know, factor there. They, you know, lack of maturity, vulnerability. Teens go through often a point. Most teens will go through a point in life where they don't like themselves, their parents, their life, their situation. So traffickers are looking for that vulnerability and that weakness, and they're moving in to be that knight in shining armor. A lot of these girls come from broken homes. A lot of girls come from foster care system, but anybody can be a target, and I think that's really important.
Yeah, there's
to
no discrimination.
There isn't, and mm-hmm. Traffickers are anywhere that our teens hang out. So they're in the malls, and they're in the coffee shops. And
possibly the schools.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you bet.
You know, the peer-to-peer recruitment taking place in schools is at an alarming high. So that is just devastating to me to know that they're infiltrating what we would consider safe places. And once they target a girl, then they move in to groom her. So a lot of times it is a boyfriend, sort of an older boyfriend, lover boy position where they come in and they meet that vulnerability. And they bring that girl to feeling loved and safe and filling all those gaps. And eventually just continues to groom her down to the path of controlling her as a sex slave.
Mm. Well, and it sounds like parents may not be aware that these things are happening. If they're, I was reading that one of the warning signs is maybe if your daughter starts hanging out with friends that you've never met before, mm-hmm. or going to locations where she's never had an interest in going, or like you said, is all of a sudden very connected to a boyfriend that you haven't heard of mm-hmm. before, mm-hmm. Yeah. and anything that is different from her norm, that might be something that you should be aware of.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are all excellent.
Yeah, a few more, you know, that to think about is, and all this stuff that we're sharing with you, this is all online. You can buy a book. Mm-hmm. And that's really alarming because this is such big business. But a few of the other things, new gifts that typically a teen couldn't afford is another big warning sign. New clothes, she might start to dress a little bit differently to be attractive for him. And all along, you know, he has a plan from the very beginning. And he's, while he's making her feel loved, he's training her mm-hmm. to be the product that he wants to sell. And so these little things, these little changes, they're really important to notice and be on the lookout for, not just from parents, but from friends. We need to be educating our youth, our high school mm-hmm. girls and boys. And I just want to take one moment real quick to say, it's not just girls. Mm-hmm. There are more and more boys being trafficked as well. Mm-hmm. So don't let our audience think it's just girls that we're trying to save, because there are boys and men being trafficked as well.
Well, and there's also, there's a problem of finding teens who are being trafficked. There's also a problem of there's a demand for this.
Yeah.
And do any of the organizations that you point people to speak to that as well? Or how could we get involved? Or what could a person do to help with that?
Yeah, there are great organizations. Pornography is the number one gateway to human trafficking and is an epidemic in America. Most of the porn produced is produced in America. And a lot of the girls in porn are sex slaves. And those are things that I don't think that our men that are looking at pornography even recognize. They think this is a woman's occupation or her choice of living. And they're not recognizing that a lot of this stuff is forced. So sometimes just bringing that to awareness is key. But there are great organizations that are fighting that. Covenant Eyes is excellent. Mm-hmm. Trafficking Justice has good information on pornography too. You know, I say it's something in our churches we're not talking enough about. There are a lot of self-help groups or there are groups to guide people through divorce or through, you know, addictions, but we are not talking enough about the addiction of pornography and the freedom that needs to happen from sexual addictions.
Yeah, there's so much shame involved with it that it's kept very quiet, and it's one of the things that is destroying our marriages and mm-hmm. our families from the inside out, because no one's talking about it and men don't realize what it is really doing to them and their relationship with their spouses, and when it's available to their children and how they're missing these little things they can do to protect those little eyes. Mm. So very, very important to make people aware of that as well. Small steps can make big differences.
We need to be protecting our own children. The average age that a child sees pornography is 11. Yep. So we need to be really protecting them by putting really good safeguards online to protect her and having honest conversations with our children. That's just a start mm-hmm. to ending the demand. Another start is really just talking to boys about the importance of who God created them to be, that they are to be protectors, not predators, and that they have value and worth. Mm-hmm. They're not the enemy.
So those are little and big things that we can do as parents and as members of our community to make sure that we're aware that this is happening in our backyard, on the computers next door, or even in our own houses, mm-hmm. and to be aware of those things. We're going to talk more about not only organizations that promote awareness for sex trafficking, but more as well with Kay and Sean Levesque. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. I'm Joe Bender. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, I love that Matthew West song. Every time I hear it, I think, I need to do something. I don't know why, but that's in my head. And well, maybe you felt that way at some time in your life where you need to do something, where God is calling you to do something, big or small, whether it's praying for someone who's walking down the street and you don't really know why, but you know you need to pray for them, or maybe it's leaving the life you know and heading to an area that you don't know to talk more about who God is and what he has planned for our world. Well, I have two guests sitting in the studio today, Sean and Kayla Veck, who are embarking on something pretty amazing based on God just stirring in their heart to do something. They're embarking on the Love to Hope Tour, which is raising awareness about social injustice and mobilizing individuals and communities to bring hope to their neighbors. We've been talking for the last half hour just about exactly what that is, and I'm going to let them explain what is an awareness tour and how will you be physically getting from city to city to do this?
Yeah, so our plan, our strategy is to stop in each city, and we chose those cities, I'll back up just a bit here, by looking at an infrared map that Polaris Project puts out. And on that map, it shows you the spots where trafficking is the worst. So when we chose the cities that we were going to over the during the tour, we were looking to see where it's the worst. So based on that map, we chose 22 cities, and we'll spend about a month in each of those cities, about 4 weeks. And our goal when we're in each of those cities is to talk to as many people, as many different people and groups of people as we possibly can while we're there, and as well serve. So our family is not just about raising awareness, but it's going into the communities and working with the organizations that are doing the work, the boots on the ground. And then when we connect with these audiences, telling them, here's this organization and this, and they're right in your backyard. And if you feel stirred, those are the ones that you want to get connected with, because this is what they need for help, whether it's financial or it's volunteers, you name it. Here it is. And so from MOPS groups to men's groups, Joe, we will be speaking to anyone that will listen, because we really feel like anyone can do something about human trafficking. So everyone needs to know something.
And how are you traveling? How are you getting there?
we sold our home, and July 6th, we moved out of our home into an RV. It's a 40-foot toy hauler, fifth wheel. So we have a truck that pulls it. It's our home on wheels, and it's a new lifestyle for us. We're still kind of getting used to it right now. Obviously, going from 1,800 square feet and five bedrooms to about 350 square feet, it requires a lot of excuse me's and I'm sorry's. That's what my wife says all the time. But that is going to be our home. And we will stay in campgrounds in the surrounding areas of the cities that we go to. And you know, we'll never let anyone know exactly where we are for safety reasons. Some people do ask that question. But we will be in campgrounds all around America. And, of course, nice south where it's warm in the winter.
Sure. And it's not just you and Kay, Sean. You have some other people with you, too. Tell us about that.
Yeah, each of our kids, Connor's 13, Renee's 10, and Caden is 8. And I always want to do the shout out to Caden and let everyone know that the name Love to Hope actually came from that little boy. He was 7 at the time, and we had just watched a family devotional called Made to Make a Difference by Max Licato. And he said, if I were to name a ministry, I'd call it Love to Hope. And Kay and I looked at each other. That is perfect. That is beautiful. Of course, his older brother and sister are like, that's stupid. What does that mean?
Of course.
You know, typical. But that's how the name Love to Hope came to be for our organization. But each of the kids really do have a role. Connor is our tech guy. He's going to be doing a lot of our video blogging, our vlogging, and doing the filming, the editing, and putting that up on our YouTube channel that we have, so people can kind of follow our life and see what this is like and laugh with us and cry with us and, you know, everything in
laugh
between
that's
going to, yeah, laugh at us. Renee, she's our crafty one. She is making jewelry. I Love to Hope jewelry, and we do sell that as part of our fundraiser while we're on the road. Cute little necklaces with charms and keychains and magnets for fridges. And then Caden, he's our best marketer. I mean, he's the kid that will take pamphlets where we go and hand them out and say, you should learn more about this. You need to know more. And do you know what Love to Hope is? And he will stand there and give the elevator speech to a perfect stranger. So everyone has their role. Yes.
Yeah. And how do they explain what they're doing to their friends and your family? What did your family think of this when you said, this is what we're doing?
Yeah, well, you know, we had varying responses from the two sides. My parents are, they have always taught us to be bold and to do what the Lord calls you, even if it's hard or doesn't make sense. And, you know, we've seen that exemplified in their own faith. And there's missionary, my brother's a missionary in Germany, so this is not foreign. We took a 6 month trip around the East Coast when I was a child in an RV. So this whole idea was much more easily accepted and embraced by them. His parents were worried and a little bit sad, but have really come to be huge supporters of ours. And
still worry though.
But we love them for it. They're fantastic supporters of ours. So, and the kids were very excited at the beginning of the adventure and life on the road and life in an RV. And as it comes closer, I think that enthusiasm is waning a little bit. And they're starting to realize that leaving their sports and leaving their friends and leaving their peer groups and youth groups and grandparents and cousins it's not easy. But we believe that the Lord calls our entire family.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that he has a journey for our children as well and a story for them.
Well, they don't even know yet what it is that they're going to learn through this experience.
It's just really cool to know that the Lord, they're his kids first, and that he has a plan for all of us. And there's nobody ever too young to do something big for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what an incredible testament of faith that you're teaching them right now, because they must be wondering, what in the world is going to happen? And yet we're going to follow our parents because our parents know that they're following the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to be part of that. And that's just an amazing opportunity that you've provided for them.
Yeah. Mm.
So where's I know you're here in the Midwest right now. We do broadcast all the way to the Northeast. Why don't you tell us where your next stop is going to be, and maybe someone is going to be in that area?
Yeah, well, our next two stops, I'll share both. Chicago, we're leaving for in a few weeks here. So we'll be in the Chicago area until the middle of October, actually more towards the end of October. And then from there, we will go east and we will spend a month in Richmond.
Okay.
Virginia, we had to go south a little faster because we thought we would start in June. June 1, we thought we were leaving, but God wanted to sell our house four times. sell and unsell and sell and unsell. So we had to push that out a little bit, and we're leaving in September. So we have to get south before it gets too cold, because our camper obviously can't handle the harsh winters that the East Coast can give. So Chicago and Richmond, if you have a network or connections there, like I said, any type of group, Bible studies, churches, mall staff, healthcare providers, law enforcement, schools. The list just goes on and on. We'll go to a home and do a home event. If you love to host people, that's your gift. And you want to bring friends and family, and we will come and we will share this information in your home.
Because awareness works.
Mm-hmm. And again, you want to point people to organizations that already exist that are doing something on behalf of stopping sex trafficking, correct?
Yep. We put our whole strategy for Love to Hope based off of Micah 6:8. Act justly is our awareness and education. The love mercy piece is huge because human trafficking is fed by a variety of social justice issues, homelessness and poverty, addictions, runaway, the broken down family, broken down foster care system. So all of these things, we know that the Lord stirs up a holy discontent in somebody else to do something about. So when we come in and we point people to the problem of human trafficking and sort of their contributing factors, then we want them to say, well, I can do something about that. Where do I go? And that's the question. Well, what do I do? Where do I go? And so we will vet nonprofits in each community, pointing them to their locals. We're leaving. We're coming in, stirring up awareness, hopefully stirring up that holy discontent, hopefully pointing people to act in love. And, Galatians says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The whole entire law is summed up in one command: love your neighbor as yourself. And so if we can point people to those nonprofits and have them plug in, that's just exciting for us. We are not building a huge nonprofit. We are just a family of five doing what God told us to do. So we want to build up the nonprofits in local communities so that people can plug in and then make a big difference there.
As you're doing this, you, of course, must need, though, some resources and some support as well. How are you going to go about raising either funds to do what you do or finding places where people can host you? What's the best way if people want to find out more about you or how they can support you?
Yeah, so our website, lovetohope.com. It's L-O-V-E, the number 2, H-O-P-E.com. Please go there. There's lots of information on there about the organization and our strategy that Kay just mentioned. Fortunately, we're so excited to say that we're over 90% funded. So it was so important to us to have as few barriers as possible when we go talk to people, because to be able to say we have no speaking fee, really does help significantly to open people's minds to giving us the opportunity to come and speak to them. And so because we are being funded by people that believe in what we're doing, we get to go out across the country for 2 years and say, just let us share. We are here just to teach. And the information that we're about to share with you can save children from exploitation. And that has been big. So we've just about 9% left to fund. Mm-hmm. So we're almost there. God has just shown up in a mighty way. Yeah. And if people do feel led to give, they can do so right on the website on the donate tab. Thanks mm-hmm. for asking, Joe.
And it is tax deductible. We do have a fiscal sponsor, Passion to Action, that provides that tax write-off.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have a link to their website as well on our website at myfaithradio.com. And we'll have a link to Love to Hope so you can find out more about Kay and Sean or what they're doing and where they're going to be next. We're going to take a quick break. But then when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the problem of sex trafficking, maybe in our own backyard, what you can do and organizations that are making a difference. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks so much for joining us today. Well, we're talking about the problem of sex trafficking, not only here in the Midwest, but all across the country and what we can do about it. We're talking to Kay and Sean Levesque. They have embarked on an incredible journey to travel across the country in an RV, raising awareness for the problem of sex trafficking, what we can do about it, and also just teaching people what is going on possibly in our own backyards. We had a listener who sent in a question that says, what can we do if we suspect a young person is being targeted or preyed upon?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are a number of things. The first thing I'd like to say, though, is always act responsibly. You know, Matthew 10:16 says, be wise as serpents, innocent as doves. So never attempt, you know, direct street outreach or intervention on your own without training. Without proper training, you can actually put a child at increased risk of violence, not to mention the matter of your own safety. So never pay for a child for time to talk in the hopes of rescuing her. It's always important to go through the appropriate channels. So first learn how to identify a victim. You know, do your own research. Go onto our website. We've linked you to many places you can educate yourself more. Know the warning signs. And then call, report what you see. If you see something, say something. So we have programmed in our phone the National Human Trafficking Hotline. In our cell phone, it's 1-888-373-7888. So you can call that line and tell them what you see, what you suspect, and they'll direct you to your next steps. So that's the best thing that you can do if you are. And then pray, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. You know, we sometimes forget the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And God is a God of rescue and restoration is who he is, and it is what he's about. And and just one more thing I'd like to add. You know, I always think these pimps, these traffickers, they can see the vulnerable, and they go in to exploit them, and we need to have eyes to see the vulnerable first and beat them to it. And as believers, we need to have eyes to see the vulnerable, and we need to go in and we need to fill those gaps. Without the motive of exploitation, with the motive of pointing them to true hope. That's what Love to Hope means. Mm. That's the very nature of what our ministry is, loving people to the hope of Christ, loving them through actions to the hope of Jesus. So I just think that's important for all of us to do a little check there. Like, do I have eyes to see the vulnerable? And when I do see them, am I doing something about them? Am I giving them value? Am I pointing them to Jesus? Am I mentoring them?
It does make you think about, you know, when I'm just thinking about back to being in high school myself as a teenager, and you're so centered on yourself and your own life, and you're not looking at the girls who may be vulnerable in your own class. And even if we could educate these teenage girls to start recognizing that vulnerability in people who either used to be their friends or are part of their high school and are maybe trailing off, and I don't know how to do that, but it seems like that would be one way to start rescuing these girls from getting into a point where they would be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it's teaching our children to, you know, I got this little thing for my daughter's shoe that says, you can sit with us, right? It's this little, she ties it to her shoelace and it says, you can sit with us. But it's that reminder, we have to teach our children to have eyes to see the kids on the outside. And it's really hard for them to walk up at, because they have that sort of opportunity to show them love, but it puts them at risk of also being on the outside, right? And people don't want to do that, but it's teaching us to lay down ourselves and consider others better than ourselves. And it starts there. It, you know, our kids can contribute to fighting trafficking by just showing their peers love and having eyes to see. Mm-hmm. You can sit with us. That inclusion of, you know, noticing who's being bullied and who's being left out. Mm-hmm. And are you strong enough and brave enough to be their friend?
So, sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yes, it seems like it's an incredible burden that we'd like our children to all share so that they can actually be part of that solution.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And to reiterate what you're doing with Love to Hope is you're raising awareness. The actual, if there are organizations, there are organizations out there that are actually rescuing people who are engaged in sex trafficking, and you're helping point our eyes and our hearts to those organizations, mm-hmm. correct? Mm-hmm. You're not doing the rescuing.
Correct. Yes. Again, we are only focused on awareness. That's where our training is. That's best for us right now with our three children. So we will not be doing rescue and restoration. But there, praise the Lord, there are organizations that are involved in that. And we do have some linked on our website, but I can give a shout out to Shared Hope International. They're doing great things on that side, you know, and IJM. But it's really important, too, that we remember that some people have gifts to speak and teach, and some people have gifts to serve, and some people are really just good about calling their legislation, changing laws, and that really needs to happen too. So what has the Lord gifted you to plug in so and get involved? But one of the local communities or nonprofits that we really love as a sweet spot for me is Stories Foundation. They are also an awareness organization, but locally, and they have a freedom food truck, and it would be really awesome to see people plug into that and build that up. They have big dreams of establishing a cafe that will then employ people that have been victims. So, yeah, it's really cool.
And Kay, you mentioned a documentary early on that kind of inspired you to start thinking about or at least moving in your heart that there was some injustices happening in the world. And Sean, you said you may have a couple of those documentaries linked on your website as well. If people wanted to start to understand not only the problem of sex trafficking, but maybe other social injustices, how could they do that?
Yeah, so there are a couple just right off the bat. Nefarious is a really great documentary. It's not easy to watch. It's not get the popcorn and right. get excited to sit down and watch a movie together as a family. However, it's very important because it's very educational, not just domestic information, but international and what's happening. And then a more recent one is I Am Jane Doe, which is out on, you can get it on Netflix now. And neither one of them, they paint the picture of the work that we have ahead of us. It's a reminder of how much work we have to do, and that if we don't come together, and the church doesn't step up, because I really believe that the church is the hope. Mm-hmm. Like the people sitting in the pews, in the seats in the churches, getting up to do something, we are the ones that can really make a massive difference. And I feel like Kay mentioned earlier, God calls His people. He wants a mighty river of justice. And so for those documentaries and others, there are many mm-hmm. that you can go and you can search. Just watch some, watch a few. And then talk to people about what you see. Mm-hmm. Just share that information and talk to your leadership at church mm-hmm. and let them know there's a wonderful organization locally called Trafficking Justice. And it's their goal to mobilize the church to get social justice ministries going. And they are a great one to reach out to if you do feel led and feel like this is something that I could do within the walls of the church that I belong to. Mm. So there are many, obviously, mm-hmm. that you can do, but that's just a few.
Mm-hmm. This was very convicting to me. I read this in a little booklet, and it says, read the story of the Good Samaritan and substitute the image of the traveler for the image of a beaten and raped child. Mm. And I just think if we can just think about what those, you know, what the Lord is saying, do when you know about a problem, are you doing something about it, or are you skirting the issue? because it's difficult to look at and it's hard to discuss and it feels overwhelming. And yet there's so much that we can do. And there's hope. I just want to always, and there's hope, you know. One day Jesus will come and we'll get rid of all sin, you know. Until that time, he has, you know, that song that was playing on one of the breaks, you know, I created you. I created you. And you have the hope, the true hope. And that's something on that Nefarious Merchant of Souls documentary that Sean had mentioned is the best part of that documentary, because it's the stories of redemption and how Jesus has led, because they have felt such true love from the Father. Led people to freedom, and not just the girls, but the Johns and the traffickers as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, and it's interesting as you talk about the difficulty of looking and finding out what's actually happening and how hard that is. It's hard sometimes to watch. And I remember one of my kids, they were watching one of the promotions for Feed My Starving Children or something, where children were in severe poverty. And he said, oh, that commercial's on again. And I said, hold on. Mm. If that bothers you, if that's, you know, why do you not like the commercial? He said, well, it just kind of hurts my heart. And I said, no, well, that's just God doing something in your heart. That's, you need to listen to that, because maybe there's something inside you where God is telling you, you can do something to help feed those children. And so whether it's going to Feed My Starving Children or giving part of your tithe to an organization that feeds children, whatever it is, maybe it's going on a mission ship, you need to start praying about that, because God's mm-hmm. stirring in your heart. And I just find it so amazing and admirable that you had that happen in your hearts, and you could have just let that go, but something caused you to lean into that. And now you're taking your family across the country because of that little bit of discontent that you might have had. And what would you say to someone who's feeling a little stirring in their heart as well?
Well, I would say you need to just take that before the Lord. That was the first thing I did, is what would you have me do, you know? And pray about that, and take inventory of the gifts and skills and the network and the life experience that you have. See if there's a common thread there. Really tap into what riles you up, what establishes that righteous anger in you, and find organizations that are doing something about that. Those are huge things. And then get in the Word. Mm-hmm. God's heart for the lost and the broken. It's so evident, and how he has said he will direct your path, and how he wants you to love in action. It's inspiring, and how he came down and didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, and yet he came down to seek and to save those who are lost. You know, I look at these, I think about these trafficked girls, and I think, you know, they believed a lie. Or they were lost, they believed a lie, they were trapped. And isn't that Satan's way with people? Mm-hmm. Isn't that Satan's way with people? How we buy a lie and we get trapped in our sin, and they're lost. People are lost. And thank goodness that Jesus came to save me, found me worthy, and then said, you know, go and do likewise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being trapped obviously puts barriers up in us. And so you may find yourself screaming out, God, what do you want me to do? I want to do something. And you might not hear that. So I want to encourage you to do something. You may not know exactly what that is, but do a little research, find the organizations, and just do something. And you'll be amazed when you take action and show love with action, mm-hmm. how God speaks to you through those actions and how clear your calling can become mm-hmm. by just doing something.
Even if it's not clear right away, I'm right. sure yes. you didn't know right away.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, this is what we're supposed to do. I mean, it was a 4-year journey yeah. of just mm-hmm. taking yeah. that next step.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's what it is. It is yes. those next steps and staying educated and being in the Word and bathe everything in prayer.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only have about a minute and a half left. I'm wondering if you would just, I think that those people are listening today, 1 minute left. I think those people are listening today who might be thinking, what am I to do? I'm wondering if one of you would just pray for our listeners who are mm-hmm. listening, wondering what their next step should be, mm-hmm. and we'll come to a close.
Absolutely. I'd love to. Jesus, we love you and thank you so much that you love us so much, even in our brokenness, and that you want freedom for everybody, Jesus. And I just pray that the people that are hearing this message today, that have learned this information that we have shared, that your Holy Spirit will move in them, Lord, mm-hmm. and that they'll be open to the prompting and to the callings that you have in their lives, and that they'll seek you first in everything. And in the end, you can be glorified. Amen.
Well, Sean and Kay Levesque, what a treat it was to just talk about this incredible journey that God has you on. The website is love2hope.com. We'll have a link on our website as well, so you can find out more about them, how to support their ministry and the organizations that they are drawing you into. Thanks for joining us on Connecting Faith.
Thanks for listening to this Connecting Faith podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. And you can make a gift right now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Connecting Faith, you can subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the awareness and impact of Connecting Faith.